7:15 a.m. on February 19th, Thursday. Mission of the Port of Houston Authority is now in order. So welcome and thanks for being here today. Let me just start out by welcoming our newly sworn in Commissioner Bechtel. Great to see you today. Thank you for being here. Commissioner Bechtel is succeeding Commissioner Don Carlos, whose last meeting was last month, and he was termed out for service based on state law. Commissioner Bechtel is president of Bechtel Exploration and Blue Moon Exploration, and respected leader in the coastal protection and energy sector. He has long served the community. Former mayor of Morgan's Point, served 5 terms, was on the board of the pilot commission and both the Gulf Coast Protection District. We can go on and on and on, but you know, this, we want to get out of here before noon. Massive community service, and we just really appreciate you being here. It's a great time to come. We got a lot of growth, a lot of exciting projects on the horizon. We know that you'll add value so many years. So thanks for being here. As always, we welcome public comment, and I know we have a number of people signed up. We thought it would be instructive to discuss our community comment policy. It's built on the genuine desire to hear from our stakeholders. With this policy, we seek to balance transparency and our obligation to the public with the need to conduct the port's business efficiently. There are some guidelines for public comment at our meetings. For example, if more than one member of a group has registered to speak, the group must select one representative to present its comments. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. Any speaker or group with comments on a subject not on the agenda and that has spoken at any of the previous 4 commission meetings has 1 minute to speak in public comment. These guidelines aren't new, but we will now be consistently enforcing them. Guidelines are also consistent with those of other public bodies, including the City of Houston, Harris County, and Metro. Remember that public comment is not the only way to reach us. We have, as we said before, we encourage members of the public to reach out directly. This is the best way to get answers to your questions and to have a two-way dialogue. As I said in a couple of other meetings, we will not respond to public comments to try to stay or to make sure we're staying in compliance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. So it's not an open dialogue. Clearly, our port staff can have an open dialogue on an ongoing basis. So we have, if you want to have a longer discussion and go through real information sharing on both sides, I encourage you to connect with the staff. Just want to thank everyone here today, and I always start out the meeting by thanking our teams, because the port runs as a team. We really are a team. We have the ILA, we have seafarers, we have Coast Guard, the Houston pilots, all of our direct employees and our indirect employees working around Port Houston. We appreciate what you do every day and know that without you, the port doesn't operate. And we do appreciate the partnerships that we have with all of our teams here. So I'll conclude my comments. Commissioners, floor is open for you to open with comments, if any.
I'll just say, Michelle, we've worked together for a long, long time, and I'm really pleased to see you on the board. We look forward to the future. I'm really excited you're here.
Thank you.
Second that.
Need a motion for that. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead then, and we will go to item C, which is approval of the minutes from last meeting. Motion. Okay. All in favor say aye. Okay. Staff reports. Ollie, I think that's you.
Yes, sir. And I'm still recovering my voice after my very long-winded presentation in January on our amazing 2020. So this year, as normal, my comments will be much shorter this month. Other members of the team will provide more detailed updates. But first off, on the overall port, things are going well. January started off strong. Vessel volumes for the entire port are up 2% versus last year, which was a good year last year. So I'm very pleased to see the solid start. At the public terminals, Ryan will be covering that to much more detail, but we're having strong performance versus last. So earlier this month, our team was in Europe from myself and the leadership from commercial and the op teams meeting with our four carriers. It was a very productive trip. We were meeting in their headquarters with their suite. We're really talking about infrastructure projects, our long-term priorities, our plans to make competitiveness, and how we strive to add best value by focusing on low cost, high service, low risk. We also discuss their needs and how we can be best work together for mutual success. If you look over the last 10 years of the main business, we have grown two times faster than the second fastest growing top 10 container port in the United States. That is an amazing feat. We believe we can keep that going. And we've grown as much as five times faster than the rest of the container ports in the United States. So we really have a strong past. They're excited, and we've explained to them our position for a strong future. And I would just say it was a very, very strong trip. We do have some interesting business initiatives coming out of that. Can't speak about those publicly, but it could be very good for Texas if we get those things to close. So, I guess I'm just going to close it with it. And I have all kinds of notes here, but I promised I'd keep it short. Ultimately, the trip went very well. Extremely valuable visit to those customers and strengthened our relationships. That's it.
Perfect. Thank you. I do want to recognize a very important person that is here today, Jenny Bechtel over here.
Please stand up. We know. We know that there's a partnership that makes people great, and you're part of that partnership or a significant part of the partnership for Mayor Bechtel. And we thank you for being here today, and thank you for all of your support. And I know he's going to need support on this, so don't stop now. Okay, thank you. If you want to say something about it, go ahead. Clearly. Thank you so much. Also, I want to make sure everyone knows that we have Roland Garcia is in court today, so he couldn't be with us, Commissioner Garcia. We do have Clyde Fitzgerald, who is joining us online, so I want to welcome Clyde. Okay, with that, we're going to go into public comments. Let's see. Okay, so our first person that signed up is Sarah Cinco with the Healthy Port Communities Coalition. Sarah?
Good morning, esteemed commissioners. My name is Sara Cinco. I'm an organizer with Public Citizen representing the Healthy Port Communities Coalition, composed of organizations all across the Ship Channel, just fighting for our health. As you consider the approval of the contract with John C. Martin Associates, LLC, for the development of an updated economic impact study for the Port Authority, we encourage the Commission to ensure the study accurately reflects the Port's balanced investment strategy between terminal expansion, terminal resilience to hurricanes and flooding, and operational continuity. We understand that the Port is awarding a $135 million construction contract to expand the Wharf 1 West at the Bayport container terminal. This is a significant investment in capacity extension. However, as Mr. Cleophas Sharp testified before this commission on July 17th, 2025, the port's hazard management plan relied on outdated flood data that really failed to incorporate post-Hurricane Harvey information and did not really seek meaningful community input from the port adjacent neighborhoods. As John C. Martin Associates conducts this economic, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Next up, we have Juliana Hernandez with your alliance. Houston, your alliance, Houston.
Hello, I'm Juliana Hernandez here on behalf of HPCC, and today I wanted to comment on the upcoming community grants program. Our preference is that as you look through the applications, that you give a preference to nonprofits or organizations working within or for the benefit for the communities within the Houston port. And secondly, I wanted to comment on item H3, which appears to be a contract for dredging deposition. We just want to note that it was going to be around the Beltway 8 area, and although we typically don't love disposing within inland property, we recognize that this is the farthest from community, so we just wanted to know that, and we just wanted to say we hope that you can exercise caution moving forward with this project by including testing of the material. Thank you.
Thank you. And next up, we have Bridget Jensen for Christians for Free Palestine.
Good morning. Yesterday was Ash Wednesday, and many of y'all might have gotten ashes smudged in the form of a cross on your foreheads. Or you may at least observe the season of Lent, a time for repentance, a time for a posture of humility before God. I challenge you as individuals, especially those who observe the season of Lent, and you as a body, to humble yourselves between now and your next meeting or in following meetings to allow the possibility of taking a stand against the genocide that our country has helped to perpetrate against the Palestinians. I suggest in parallel to your prayer time that you expose yourself to journalism that goes more deeply into Israel-Palestine than our general media, sources such as Mondo Weiss and Plus 972, which is the international country code for Israel. I ask that you read the statement from the Oakland Port Commission that ends, quote, "We strongly support the bill currently pending in Congress, co-sponsored by Representative Lakeitha Simon, H.R. 3565, the Ban the Bombs Act." Okay, time's up. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that concludes our public comment. We'll move on to the executive session. I think, Parker, you're going to lead us through that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Welcome. We have two items F1 and F2, for your consideration and approval this morning. Item F1 is an update to Port Commission Committee and Task Force assignments, given the recent changes to our commission members. Item F2 is a request for emergency purchasing authorization for the new members of the Senior Executive Leadership Team. This authorization is permitted under the Water Code under limited circumstances and is intended solely as a contingency measure to ensure operational continuity in the unlikely event of the CEO's unavailability. Importantly, and I want to stress, this authority is not for independent action. My time is up. But rather is to be exercised in close collaboration with the full executive team to ensure alignment with company goals. The Port Commission extended this authority to the Chief Financial Officer, the Chief Administrative Officer, and the prior Chief Legal Officer in April 2025. And extending it to the remaining members of the senior executive team will ensure collaboration and provide additional coverage. Happy to entertain questions, and if not, I request your approval of items F1 and F2.
Okay. How's the committees in front of them? You're all good with that? Okay, good. I'll have to tell them something you don't want to be on. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Next up, External Affairs. Good to meet you. See you.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for having us today. I'm here on behalf of the External Affairs Division, led by Carrick. And we have two items for your consideration here today. The first is to enter an agreement with BSYA to coordinate sponsorship sales, ticket sales, event planning, promotion, and all of the speaker panelists for HIMSI, which is the Houston International Maritime Conference that we host in the fall. In 2025, BSYA's support included coordinating with all of the conference speakers, which there were more than 50 of them, planning logistics for the event, and securing sponsorships. Our sponsorships in 2025 also grew 34% to 59 different sponsors. And so as in previous years, their scope for the 2026 event will include strategic and creative counsel, fundraising support, event management, panelist and moderator liaison, and day of event and guest management, among many other things. Item G2 is for a professional services contract with Pierrepont Communications for public relations consulting and support, and there's a one-year extension option on that. Pierrepont is a leading public relations agency in Houston, and they've been trusted communications and media relations advisors for Port Houston since October of 2023. Their scope of work includes providing speaker training and media prep for port employees, helping us develop messaging and various communications tools like press releases, proactively pitching media stories to the media, as well as monitoring for the stories that run and providing us with detailed reporting. With the upcoming big priorities for Port Houston, including further Bayport development, Terminal 3, the new tour boat, the Anchored in Action program, among many other things, their support and expertise will be key in helping us develop the communications and media strategies to showcase our work. And with that, if there are no questions, I would like to request approval for items G1 and G2.
So moved.
Second. Questions or comments? All prepared to say aye. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, channel infrastructure, Lori.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, brief staff report on a few, well, at least one channel infrastructure project this month. Dredging will begin at Care Terminal Berth J5 to extend the total length by about 85 feet, 615 to 700 feet for total length, and deepen the berth by an additional 2 feet from about 40.5 to 42.5. So this will safely allow larger vessels without impacting berth J4, the adjacent berth, as previously experienced. Dredging will be fully completed by the end of next month. We have a very abbreviated agenda this month. I'm going to make it even more abbreviated by removing item H1, WACO. We'll bring that forward to next month. So with that, we have H2, which is the transfer of 2 marine construction permits and a barge fleeting lease from 14,000 Industrial Holdings to Pelican Marine Services. And item H3 is to request a 10-year upland and submerged lands lease with Matthews Brothers Dredging for approximately 3.65 acres north of the Boatway 8 property. The site will be used to stage an offloader barge to unload the dredge material through a discharge pipe on the upland property owned by the dredging company. And with that, I ask for your approval of items H2 and H3.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. 2 and 3 approved.
Thank you.
Okay. Commercial. Who's up for commercial? John, give us. Oh, yes. Here he is.
Thanks, Lori. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, Commissioner Bechtel. Great to have you here on this fantastic board. Just like to share a little bit about some activity going on in the commercial side of things on industrial real estate front. 2025 was a very active year in the industrial real estate market. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. We've already had a lot of review on 2025 last month. But just a report just came out a couple of weeks ago about the last quarter and how 2025 performed in the industrial real estate market. And basically, we had 13.6 million square feet of positive net absorption in industrial warehousing with 17.2 million square feet of new construction deliveries. That's according to C.B. Richard Ellis's recent report on 2025. And despite this massive infusion of new space, vacancy dipped under 7% thanks to sustained demand from users. There's still a pipeline to continue seeing a lot of growth in the industrial real estate market. There's 21.5 million square feet currently underway after an uptick in groundbreakings in the last few months of the year. These properties are currently at 16% pre-leased. The reason why I really touch on industrial real estate because that's really a reflection of the cargo base, particularly when it involves imports of cargo for import distribution centers, refrigerated cold storage facilities, or resin packaging facilities. So it's a strong indicator for us at the very front end of the business development pipeline that if we see strong, robust activity in and industrial warehousing around the port area, it does translate into cargo and jobs eventually. We're really optimistic about that in 2026, according to the experts in the industrial real estate space. On the cargo front, just to report back, we have had quite a bit of activity in the last several months regarding cold storage and perishable cargo. There's been a considerable uptick in demand from our retail customers that have expressed a very strong willingness for us to see more cargo coming in on the refrigerated perishable front. That combined with new manufacturing that's slated to come online end of the year on petrochemical with a new project by Chevron Phillips Chemical out in Orange, Texas. The outlook is looking very good for imports and exports of containerized cargo. With that, I'd like to jump to the three items that we have today for your consideration. Item one is basically a three-part request for a transaction we are working on in the Turning Basin. It involves approving a consent and leasehold lien subordination agreement. It also involves an amendment to the lease to extend the term. And thirdly, it's also a consent for a coterminous extension of the sublease at the Turning Basin Terminal. That's item one. Item two is quite simple. It's a request to approve a one-year term with a one-year option on an office lease at one of our container terminals. And thirdly, we have a request to extend an existing lease, to amend an existing lease, to add acreage to an existing lease for a tenant providing container support services at Bayport. With that, I'm seeking your approval for commercial division items H1 through H3.
No, all in favor say aye. Motion passes.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Vance.
Good morning. I'm a member of the commission. My name is Norma Estring. I'm a director of enterprise risk management. I had the pleasure of presenting on behalf of Tim Finley, our chief financial officer. With regards to our financials, we were unable to provide or produce the detailed financial statements due to the workplace implementation last month, as we had the entire accounting team really focusing on support and post-launch validation and testing, which I must say they did an excellent job. But no worries, the full financial package will be provided for next month's March commission meeting. The generation of cash remains consistent with historical trends, but interestingly, our January operating revenues totaled $58 million, which is a 5% increase year over year. This coincides with what we're seeing on the TEU and unit volume increases, but I will let Ryan speak about that on his presentation. But moving forward, there are two items that finance has, and I'll be focusing on J1. In front of you on your is a brochure that depicts our property and casualty renewal program. Sometimes pictures are better than words. And it provides a highlight of our revenue, our investment increases in our values. It provides some premium history and a little bit about our market and carrier participation on our ports program. The solicitation requires a domestic and global outreach, which is facilitated with our broker of record, Marsh MMA. A couple of observations from this particular renewal that was a little bit distinct, different yet positive. Number one was, as you well know, we've been in a volatile market since 2017, and it was only impacted even further with the pandemic. Well, this year we were able to take advantages of some of the softening market and receive some rate decreases. Number two, interesting and a great thing, our property valuation spiked by double digits. So while we receive rate decreases, our values increase. In fact, if I look at our property, real and personal property, which is basically our insured property, it increased by 34% in value year over year. Our cranes increased by 17%. So keep in mind that this renewal, 72% of these dollars are attributed to the property and cranes alone. But good news is we came up with some positive outcomes. We were able to increase our loss limit to $85 million. Number two, we were able to, everything that's in this renewal includes the four cranes that just arrived about 2 weeks ago. And we'll put those on when they're finished with commissioning.
it also includes the four cranes that we're waiting to receive by probably summertime, and it also increases the new vessel that will replace Sam Houston in the fall. So good news is I won't be coming back to you for more money. The other piece is, and this hasn't happened in many years, we were able to secure a five-year, multi-year policy, environmental policy for 15 of our named dredge sites, which is a positive thing. And the last thing is, this comes in an $800,000 favorable outcome versus our 2026 budget estimate for this line. So if there is nothing more, no questions or commentary, respectfully request your approval for items 1 and 2.
Say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, next up, Rich, coming up for infrastructure.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Last month, we gave an update on the year looking forward, so I'm not going to give you much update today, except to say we wish you a celebratory Black History Month. Tori Clinton and our staff has been doing a great job this month with lots of celebrations, as well as peaceful Ramadan and happy Chinese New Year. There's a lot going on in this month. Today we have four RCAs totaling $134 million. These are related to critical capabilities of the port.
I'll get right to it.
Items K1, 2, and 4 are all related to building Wharf 1 at Bayport. Our prior wharves have been 1,000 feet each. This is 1,300 feet. And it also completes the entire waterfront along the Bayport Channel, 7,300 feet, serve our customers. Our continuing program to build out Bayport and refurbish Barbers is adding capacity to meet the port's infrastructure mission of capacity ahead of demand and accommodate the strong growth that Charlie's been talking about and which we've been blessed with. Our customers, which we met in Europe, as well as elsewhere, are continually looking for more capacity. And so we completed Wharf 6 in 2023, Wharf 7 in 2025, and those are on the west end of Bayport. And so now on the east end, we'll be completing this with Wharf 1. The longer berth will accommodate the largest ships that can come to Houston and will be fitted with some of the largest cranes that we've seen to date. Items 2 and 4 are independent amendments for material testing and engineering support, supporting construction. And I will point out that this is a team event, right? Beginning construction culminates a long effort in strategy, planning, and design of the wharf itself, which is time-consuming and expensive. It involves coordinating with maintenance on what kinds of cranes are going to sit on the wharf and with operations for things like stevedore services and so forth. Item K3 is also a team effort. This is a contract to a landfill to accept about 1,000 cubic yards of excavated soils that are unsuitable for construction or other reuse. To give you an idea, 11,000 cubic yards is a quarter of a football field. It's a big lump of dirt. We need to get that out of the way because we're building two projects in that area. One is the PC, which is under construction, and the other is the maintenance complex, which was awarded last month. And again, team effort, lots of people involved in including a big thank you to our maintenance crew who are going to be hauling this dirt, to the landfill. We're doing this self-performing as opposed to a contract to another company. With that, I can address any questions or ask approval for K1 through K4.
Any questions to start with? Okay. Before we take a motion, I'm going to make a motion to modify, item K1. So I move to amend item K1 to award the contract to McCarthy Building Companies, Inc. for the construction of Wharf 1 West at Bayport Container Terminal as follows. Not to exceed the amount of the contract of $131,511,864. So I'm making a motion to change it from $135,457,220 to $131,051,864. So that's my motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. All right, so now let's go ahead and approve the other items, which would be K2 through 4. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Any questions or comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, next up. Nathan. Oh, not Apollo.
Yes. Good
to see you, Apollo. You
almost sir, like likewise. Yeah, Nathan was not feeling well.
Okay.
Morning, so I'm covering for him. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Just like to touch on brief highlights for each of our departments, starting with inventory and planning. We successfully procured about $1.2 million of critical parts in January, so we hit workday heavy this month, and we processed about 300 invoices. So working closely with strategic sourcing and AP personnel to get all these done. From the facility and equipment standpoint, we had a brief outage in January due to weather. The team did a great job in securing the facility and equipment as we left terminal, and we came back strong that very next day. Came back with the 20 cranes on both facilities that they're operating that day. So kudos to the team for getting the facilities ready, up and running. For the port cranes, we successfully offloaded four ship-to-shore cranes on board 4/5A at Barber's Cut between February 1st and February 7th. So all cranes are on the dock, and now we're starting the electrification process, punch list completion, and into commission. So that process should take about 2 months, 2.5 months to get it all done so we can be ready to put these cranes on a vessel ops. That is, so kudos to the PCM team for ensuring the dock was ready to receive this crane. So we highly appreciate that. Thank you, Rich and team. Now on to the agenda items that you have before you. We have first off is the award to Corny Cranes, $5 million for purchase of proprietary parts. By the end of Q1 this year, we will have a total of 167 cranes that were made by Corny. That includes 163 RTG cranes, 4 ship-to-shore cranes. Obviously, these cranes need parts that were made and designed by Corny. So this contract is going to allow us to procure these critical parts and get these equipment up and running and minimize downtime. And item K2 is the purchase of a replacement street sweeper for our Bayport terminal. We have 2 sweepers at that particular terminal, but one of them is 21 years old, and we're having very difficult time getting parts and keeping it running. It's currently down at the moment, so we're gonna replace that one with this one if the commissioner so approve it. So if there are no questions, comments, I'd like to present items K1 and K2.
What's the timing for getting the cranes up and working?
About 2 months, sir.
Two months? Yeah, that's pretty fast.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yes, sir. And we have four more on the way. Should be arriving April 10th. They are in the middle of the Indian Ocean now, sailing, heading this way.
Great. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Operations, Ryan, you don't have any items, but you're going to update us.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Like you said, no items on the agenda for us today, but wanted to give you a brief update of how the public forums start the year. I'm pleased to report both up 6% with over 4.5 million tons handled for the month of January. Our multipurpose facilities are leading our growth, up 24% with tremendous tonnage increases in break and dry bulk. Break bulk tonnage was driven by a surge in import bag cement handled at various locations, including Northside Training Basin, Jacinto Port, Chair, and Southside Training Basin. Dry bulk saw a significant tonnage gain for exports handled primarily at the Woodhouse Grain Elevator, and bulk cement at our Southside Training Base facility. As expected, steel tonnage continues to decline, down 30% for the month. But again, that was forecasted in our budget. Container volumes continue to perform well, with last month being the busiest January on record, handling over 370,000 TEU. Bayport and Barber's Cut closed out January up 3.5% in total TEU and 4.7% in loaded TEU. Both import and export loaded TEU showed growth of 4 and 6% respectively, leading to a near 60-40 trade split to start the year. Chairman, to your point, you know, our success is driven by teamwork. We remain focused on our fundamentals at our terminals, providing safe, efficient, and reliable service in cooperation with all of our partners. Thank you.
Any questions, commissioners? Okay. Thanks, Ryan. People, we have no items. PCU, we have Chief William Buck here. Chief, good to see you.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. I am Fire Chief William Buck, off here today on behalf of Amy Seymour, Fort Security and Emergency Operations Division. I'm here today to request an amendment to the existing PO issued to MVF Industries for repairs to our Mobile Command Center, or our MCC. The Mobile Command Center is a critical emergency response asset for the Port of Houston, serving as an alternate location to the PCC and Port of Houston Dispatch, and is formally listed as a designated and regional emergency response resource. Due to normal aging and key mechanical, electrical, to ensure the unit remains safe, reliable, and fully operational during emergencies. The MCC was originally obtained through a Fort Security grant by MVF Industries. Using proprietary patent construction due to normal aging, key mechanical, electrical, and structural systems now require additional repair. The requested amendment allows them to restore the MCC to a safe and reliable operational condition and maintain compliance with original safety standards to ensure warranty remains in place. Approval of this amendment preserves operational readiness and continuity of emergency response capability for the Port of Houston and the region. We have an expected another 8 years of life for this asset. Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners. If there are no questions, I respectfully request your approval.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye. Thank you, Chief Buck. Appreciate it. Next up, from Bush Strategy, we have Candace Emerald. Yes, welcome.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Quick one for us today. I have one item on the agenda focused around an updated John Martin study. So believe it or not, it's been 4 years since we've completed our last economic impact study for the port. This report, if you're not familiar, gives us information and statistics that daily for all of our advocacy and all of our marketing. We create statements such as our Houston Ship Channel has nationwide impact $900 billion. That kind of statement comes from these studies. It's time for an updated study. As you can imagine, things have changed over the last 5 years. We're confident that our nationwide impact figure is over $1 trillion, and we want to prove it. So my hope is to keep this information current as we move forward and relevant as we continue to advocate for Houston and the region. I present to you just this item number P1. P1 is seeking your approval to award a services contract to John C. Martin and Associates development of an updated economic impact study in the amount not to exceed $169,000. Happy to answer any questions, or if not, I seek your approval for this item.
Comments? All in favor say aye. Much best. Thanks. Okay. Last but not least, Mr. Thompson.
Morning, Chairman. Good to see you, listeners. Technology Division, Section Q. 5 items for your consideration. Item number one is the initial purchase of lane cameras, partnering with Ryan and his team. This is the first of a multiple phases to remove antiquated, no longer supported cameras, as well as eventually provide redundancy, resiliency, at various stages in both the container terms. Multiple phases, again, will be required to implement the total solution to minimize any impact of container movement from the in-gate through the out-gate. Item number three is an amendment to an existing contract for Metro Ethernet, connecting all of our facilities on a wide area network services, something called True SD-WAN. Again, Redundancy, resiliency, and recoverability are the foundation of this item as well. The results of this amendment will add redundant internet, the first physical and logical paths, and increased bandwidth to all our port facilities. This item also supports multiple work streams in the IT master plan for 2024 to 2028. Finally, item number 5 helps with the aspirational goal for SMWBE spend. Happy to take questions, but respectfully request approval of items Q1 to Q5.
Charles, can I just ask you on 4? Can you just say a little bit more, like how high level is this to help us establish enterprise, kind of the life cycle of enterprise data management? Is it more the data to value chain or not getting into that? Is it just kind of the, you know, the pillars on structural procedural mechanisms of our data?
So we have a framework, to answer your question, Commissioner. We have a framework for data governance. We didn't do a good job in the education. We're really good as a port on transactional data, things that happen in one system, and very, very good at operational data. But as an enterprise, to work on the things that Charlie wants us to drive for data-driven decision-making, we got to set a better foundation. So this enterprise data backbone is the start of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Working with Mr. Edwards as the chairman of the council.
Yeah. Motion.
Second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. So we are now going to go into executive session. Any break between there and now? Okay. We're going to move to the other meeting, right?
Right.
Through the back way that way.
Okay. Right. Now,
I'll be back in a few minutes.
Including consultations regarding 33 U.S. Code Sections 5B and 2236, certain important commission meeting governance matters, and a proposed contract for legal support services, and deliberate regarding real estate, property, economic development negotiation services, employment and evaluation of public employees, including deliberations regarding employment of the former executive director and security related matters. The Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Yeah.
Looks like.
Okay.